What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we are back with another episode. This week, we actually have a special guest, Chris Hawkins. Say what's up, Chris. And Chris is, so for people who don't know, because usually we have kind of a, in terms of special guests, we usually have someone who's, you know, from the industry or someone who's been writing with me for however long, or just family. And Chris is one of the homies. I worked with her at T-Mobile years ago, and we've, you know, stayed in contact since. And we share a lot of the same thought patterns when it comes to nerd content. So I wanted to have her up here, especially with her being a fan of some of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight. And I also wanted up here for her experience dealing with a couple of serious things. So, you know, just for people who don't know, actually for the new people, I should say, because a lot of y'all who are with us, you know what this is. But for the new people, I realized that we don't typically say what we're about that often. So I'm going to go ahead and do that.
We podcast, just expect you to know.
Right. You should, you know, like do your homework. You know what I'm saying? Nah. Our podcast is called The Gamecast, and it's game because we cover or we talk about games, anime, manga, movies, and et cetera being kind of a blanket for anything entertainment, anything that we want to talk about, whether it's, you know, Tory Lanez, you know, being foolish or, you know, the latest Marvel film, whatever the case may be. Basically, two black nerds talking about nerdy stuff. And so...
And every sometimes now and then, three.
Right. And sometimes three. So every now and then we also talk about some serious things, and because we feel like it's important. So we usually get the serious stuff out of the way first, and then we kind of get into the more, you know, vibe. You dig? So without further ado, I want to introduce, well, formally introduce Chris, and so she can like say hi and all that good stuff. And then we'll
Welcome
go into
to the show.
Right. We'll go into our first topic. Chris, how are you doing today? Or tonight, rather.
I'm doing good. Today is my off day, so I've been relaxing. So today's been a real chill day.
Oh, that's what's up. That is what's up. So speaking of which, that actually moves us into our main topic, or one of our main topics. You are a charge nurse, correct? Chris?
I know. I think we lost you, Chris.
No.
That's because we didn't give her proper welcome. Welcome to the show, Chris. Round of applause. Everybody give it up for Chris.
It's my AirPods. I'm sorry, guys.
So that's just proof that Apple's technology is not superior.
Right.
I will agree with that. Even though I have an iPhone now, but I was Android for like 13 years. But yeah, it kind of sucks now. But yes, I am a charge nurse, a registered nurse. I do endoscopy. And for people who want to know what endoscopy is, it's for people who are getting colonoscopies for like colon cancer screenings and like endoscopy for like esophageal cancers, those type of things.
Three endoscopies.
Which is important, is definitely important. Because you just, a lot of us don't check our health like that. We don't go and get checkups, in at least in that region, right? And that could lead to some bad things. So definitely important. But I knew that you had been, you know, well, I remember your journey a bit because we, you know, being friends on Facebook and just in real life, like, you know, seeing you talk about what it took to kind of get to this position and how a little bit of a struggle that was, you know, with schooling and all that good stuff. But you're here now as a charge nurse. How has that been, especially with this whole COVID thing going on, which is kind of one of our main topics?
From an honest standpoint, it's been very stressful. I actually have a therapist now because I've really developed anxiety and PTSD from this pandemic since it started last year. So that's been a journey, I should say. It's been okay with my therapist. It's a little bit easier, but It's been pretty tough. I mean, we went through having like our whole hospital with no beds, like literally none. Mm-hmm. And we were like makeshift in places for people to go in the hospital back in January, thinking, okay, well, that should be the biggest surge. And now here we are again with another one, you know, within a 6 month time frame. So it's been a bit much for me. I can say that, but I'm dealing with it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like the easiest thing to go through. And, you know, we do this on our show every week, but we do like to thank healthcare workers and first responders, because obviously you guys mean so much to the public right now. Even though there's half the country is acting like complete jerk-offs and making your jobs harder. So we want to thank you for the work that you do. Because clearly we wouldn't be succeeding without you guys. So thanks.
Facts. And we don't have an audience machine just yet, but we'll get into that. We'll get that one day.
Where we can edit that in.
Right, where we get a good applause going. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I could just imagine. And especially, so I know my frustration when, you know, you see the CDC say something like, you know, we got to put the mask back on, which I never took mine off, just to be mm-hmm. honest, because I don't trust folks. But the CDC saying, like, you know, put the mask back on and all the other stuff. And it's kind of like we were moving in the good, in a good direction. We were getting better, that the numbers were going down and now they're going back up. Kids are going to school or are being forced to go back to school. You know, businesses are saying, like, you know, come back to the office and things of that nature. So it's like, it's frustrating. It's really frustrating. But then for someone who has to potentially deal with patients who could have COVID or bump into someone who has COVID, it's even another level of frustration. So when you say, like, you know, it's you know, there's anxiety with being around people and stuff like that. I can imagine, because I have anxiety being around people. And that's just because I don't trust you. I don't trust you people.
Yeah. We don't.
So that has got to be. Yeah, that's got to be rough. Is that something that's been happening with everyone that you work with? Kind of like, does everyone have like heightened anxieties because of, you know, having to deal with COVID?
So now, because now that they are seeing that with the Delta variant is affecting children, and a lot of my coworkers have kids, and most of their kids are under the age of 3. So, you know, they're in that group where it's like, okay, is it an ear infection? Is it respiratory? Is it COVID? You know, and with them going to like a daycare, it can spread quickly. You know, one child can have it in one room and then the whole room can have it. So that's been a thing for some of the ladies who I work with, because it's an all-female staff that I have. And we have our hospital actually has a daycare just for healthcare workers. So it's no outside children. However, like, they may not tell all the parents if one class had one person who had COVID. Like, mm-hmm. only way they know is because parents talk. And so it's like, my daughter was in the class who had a COVID case, but then, you know, your daughter hangs with his daughter, and, you know, it's a big thing. So they're trying to work with that. And then in my department, like I said, we don't test vaccinated people. We only test people who are non-vaccinated. And now with the Delta variant, you know, you can still pass it with being vaccinated. We don't know. So every day we take a chance on being around somebody who could have COVID. And sometimes you kind of, your mind think, because if you listen to some of your patients, you'll know the type of person they are, just how they talk. You know, I get the ones who are like, you know, I'm an American, you know, I'm a patriot. And all you have to say is American patriot. In my head, I already know the type of person you are. You know, in my mind, I already got to figure out, like, okay, you probably more so on the Trumper side. And I'm pretty sure, besides being in this hospital, you don't wear your mask. So,
Chris, what part of the country are you in? You don't have to say exactly where, but like, where?
up in the Richmond side on the south side.
Yeah, Chris is VA. She VA all day. VA okay. Stand up.
VA stand up. It's literally the three of us.
Right.
Okay, south side. I remember. I live on south side. Anyway, it's really stressful. I mean, I'm stressed out. Simply, you know, like obviously Kenny knows, I have been on sick leave myself, and I'm sitting here like I was knocked out of work for 5 weeks. I came back wearing my mask and sunglasses. People are looking at me like I'm crazy because they had relaxed the mask rules. And I'm like, I was just out of work for 5 weeks. I'm not trying to get Delta. What's wrong with you people? And then like right before I go back on sick leave again, they like, or right when I go back, they reinstitute the mask policy. So I'm feeling you on this, and it's really frustrating because I keep seeing the things that people are posting online, like the parents who are like, you can't force my 5-year-old, they're pre-K or they're kindergarten, and it's not fair to force them to wear a mask. I'm like, do you understand that these kids were like 3 and 2 when the pandemic started? If you tell them to wear a mask, they'll wear it. They think it's normal.
Right, like, exactly.
People, it's not that big of a deal. People literally got puppies during the pandemic. They don't know what humans look like. They're confused when people take the mask off. They'd rather you keep it on. Like, so the mentality behind some of these people who are so against mask mandates and they're against these vaccines is insane. It's so funny. You see a person smoking outside. I don't know what's in that vaccine. Well, do you know what's in that Newport? Okay. Because I'm telling you, you're taking in about 10 pounds, okay, of fiberglass right now. Them lungs are looking great.
So, say the same thing to other healthcare nurses who are against, you know, being vaccinated. I'm like, well, you know, as a healthcare worker, we got to get vaccinated for everything. Like, this is nothing new. I'm like, I couldn't tell you what was in the Hep B shot, but I got it. I couldn't tell you what was in the Tdap shot, but I got it. You know, every right. shot there has that we needed or required for our job, I've gotten it. I don't know what's in none of them. I couldn't tell you what was in it.
It's insane that I really get frustrated hearing people talk about this. They're like, oh, vaccine passports. But like, what are you talking about? If I want to go to Ghana right now, I have to prove that I have a Tdap. I have to prove that I got an, typhoid, diphtheria, immune globulin, yellow fever, malaria pills. I can't step foot into that country. I can't get my visa until I show that I've gotten these vaccinations. So they're like, oh my God, I'm going to be so mad that I have to get this vaccine if I have to travel. So what? That's not new. Oh my God, I'm not getting my kid or, you know, whatever, vaccinated. It's like, you do know that you can't complete the sixth grade if you don't have your measles, mumps, and rubella and your tetanus shot. They will kick you out of school. So what's going on?
And you know, it's a lot of it for me isn't even about the vaccinations per se. For instance, like my wife, your cousin, we were holding off getting the vaccination because of her blood disorder. Because we wanted to know what the side effects would be and all the other stuff, as well as the fact that we have 4 children. And so we didn't want to, for both of us to be knocked out at the same time. So I understand there's certain people who are waiting for certain information. Like, for instance, the FDC, they went ahead and approved the Pfizer, I believe, recently. FDA went ahead and approved Pfizer. And so some people were actually waiting for that. They saw numbers actually go up after that. And so my beef wasn't necessarily the vaccine. It was how people acted like nothing was going on. Like, you're not getting the vaccine, but you're also not wearing a mask. You're also not staying 6 feet away from people. You're also, you know, congregating in like large numbers. You're also doing all these things. And then people get sick. People get sick and they're like, well, I'm still not getting vaccinated. There's been so many interviews recently of people who have caught COVID, who've nearly died and are like, yeah, I'm not doing it. There's been like celebrity people in terms of like journalism and on-air personalities who've actually passed away. And we're like, we're not getting vaccinated. We're not wearing masks. We're not whatever. And I'm like, at what point do you need, like, where's the reality check come in? Mm-hmm. Like, even if you're not going to get the vaccination, why not just stay away from folks? I'm down with that. At the very least, you're not spreading stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But like, it's this idea, this weird, in a weird way, you're telling me that you've never gone through something by doing this without actually saying it, right? You've never actually experienced anything that would be remotely close to people trampling on your rights. When people are like, I have the right mm-hmm. to air. I'm like, you can still breathe. No one is taking your oxygen. It's a mask. What? Mm-hmm. What? Like, what? Like, you know, we have the right to, I saw a sign that said, we have the right to parent without the government's interference. And I'm like, that's actually not
it's
true.
Actually not true.
That's not true at all. Like, the fact that they not have to go to school, like, that's a government mandate. They have, your kids have to go to school, or they have to be homeschooled, one or the other. You don't get to just be like, nah, we good. There is no living off the grid in the United States legally. No. You know what I'm saying? So like, what are you talking about? And it's like, no offense to you know, to white people, but it's a lot of white people with this mentality of super, super, you know, I do whatever I want. I'm like, okay.
Freedom, America.
That's not how that works.
Right. And I'm, you know, I feel like you can't have it both ways.
Right.
You know, like have it, you know, as far as hospitals where, you know, most of them now are mandating vaccinations. And then they're like, you have nurses who go, oh, well, you can't force me, you know, to get vaccination. I'm like, you're right. They can't force you to get it. But that's your choice. If you choose not to get it, then you know what you have to do. You need to go work somewhere else. You can't tell them, you know, hey, it's my choice not to get vaccinated. Okay, well, it's their choice whether they want to keep you or not. You know, you can't have that both ways. You can't keep your job and tell them they got to keep you and not be vaccinated. Like, you know, if we all want freedoms, then they have their freedoms too. And their freedoms say either get a vaccine or leave.
So, and their freedom is based on some freaking logic. Like, you're dealing with people who could be immunocompromised, considering that they're in the hospital. Like, why wouldn't you? And then that also, that's a big part of it too, because people don't care about anybody else. Like, they're a lot of them are like, I'm fine, I'm okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So Chris, as a medical professional, I'm going to ask you a couple of these questions simply because, you know, you are on the front lines and you're seeing it. You're actually seeing it. You know, we're commentators. We are. I don't want to say we're not on the front lines. I feel like everybody's on the front line. sadly. But for example, I'm just going to bring up this as an example. You're familiar with that movie Contagion?
I've seen it.
Okay. Wait, did you say you have seen it or didn't?
I did not see it.
Okay. Just short version of the story. Contagion is very similar to what's going on now. It's just that the virus that was in the movie Contagion is much more deadly than COVID in the sense that it infects and kills the hosts at a very quick rate and kills, like, infection and death are very quick. So infection can happen immediately. Showing of symptoms, it manifests within 3 days and you're dead within 3 to 5 days. So so in actuality, if we were really to put that disease to the test, it probably wouldn't have killed as many people because it wouldn't have been as infectious. A good virus keeps its hosts alive.
Right.
COVID is kind of the perfect virus. But in that movie, in their situation, because it was so deadly, because so many people were dying, like 2.5 million Americans died within the first 3 months of the disease, you know? So it was just so fast and so deadly that they implemented a mandatory vaccine that everybody wanted, you know? And that's because everyone was dying. The fear was so real, or not just the fear, but the product
of the disease was so real that rolling out the vaccine became a lottery system. There was no, I don't want to take the vaccine because I don't know what's in it. That didn't exist in that world simply because so many people had died so fast and so horridly. So in our world, COVID is not the same. It's a lesser version, but it's just as infectious, just not as deadly because it allows people to live. And so with that being said, do you feel as a healthcare worker with what you're seeing in the hospitals, do you feel that vaccine mandates are either necessary or are the direction we're going, that we should be going? Because I know this is America and we're probably not going that way, but should we be going that way?
No opinion about it. I feel we should be going that way. Mm-hmm. And the only reason why I say that is because I'm the type of person is if we can contain this now and then be able to move on with the rest of our life, let's contain it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the type of person like, let's all buckle down. You know, like when they did the lockdowns, I'm like, can we just buckle down for a year, get this over with, and then you got the rest of your 30, 40, 50, or how many years you got left
right.
to live out your gracious life, you know? And I'm like, people don't can't seem to grasp that concept. You know, if I have to wear a mask for this for another year, I'll wear a mask another year. I'll only be turning 35, 36. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to live to be 90 years old. So that means mm-hmm. I still will have a good 50 plus years without a mask.
Right.
You know, this is just a drop in the bucket to me. And, you know, me personally, I feel like we wouldn't need mandates if people had mm-hmm. compassion and just did it. You know, no one should have to force you to put on a mask. You should just want to do it.
I agree with you.
Not just for yourself, but, you know, for somebody else who is, you know, in compromise or your mm-hmm. family or your friend, just put it on. It's a mask. You know, I'm in a mask 12 hours a day. I can breathe just fine.
Just fine.
You know, I'm in three masks, to be honest. I have three mm-hmm. surgical masks that I put on. My friends look at me like I'm stupid. They're like, Chris, you got on three masks? I sure do. I put on three and I put on this shield. I don't care about the rest of y'all in this hospital who want to wear one. Crystal wears three.
I don't know what y'all doing, but over here.
I don't know what y'all doing, but over here, you know, because like I said, you know, with these vaccinated people, some of y'all might have COVID.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do what I can to, you know, say protect me.
Yeah.
As well as my friends and family who I may run in contact with. So yeah, if it was to that point, yeah, I would agree with going ahead and mandating to get this. Because, I mean, people don't realize if your healthcare system completely fails, you guys are screwed. Completely. Mm-hmm. No, and it's not just COVID people who will be dying. It's people who have, like, cancer or, you know, I read in an article the other day, some man who was shot 6 times had to wait a whole week before he had surgery because they couldn't get a bed. I'm like, you got shot 6 times and you had to wait for a bed because of a COVID patient.
That's
ridiculous.
Like,
yeah.
You know, what if you just died, you know, in that week trying to wait for surgery? Like, I mean, people just they don't think. And like you said, unless it happens to them,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't bother them at all. But I'm, you know, as somebody, you know, I do procedures on the ICU floor. Our ICU floor right now, the last day I was there, it holds 16. We had 14 on the unit. Out of the 14, 11 were COVID positive.
That's ridiculous.
And see, for me, I as far as like the vaccine mandate, that's the only part that I'm not 100% on, because mm-hmm. there are reasons why, outside of the goofy reasons, there are real reasons why people won't get the vaccine that are valid. Like I was talking about, you know, the blood disorder previously.
And those people wouldn't be mandated to get it because they wouldn't fall into the category.
Right. Well, it's right. So type of things like that would kind of make me like pump the brakes. But mm-hmm. I am also on the other side of, or on the side of just like, you know, cause and effect. If mm-hmm. you don't get this vaccine, you can't do A, B, and C. And I mm-hmm. am 100% cool with that. You can't, mm-hmm. If you're not vaccinated, you don't have a mask. Similar to like how if you go into a store and it's like, if you don't have socks and shoes and a shirt, you can't come in. Same mm-hmm. thing. You don't have your mask, go away. You're not vaccinated, go away. go away. You can get someone else who is vaccinated to come get your groceries. You can, there's Uber, there's all these other things that you can do. Mm-hmm. But my beef more so is the entitlement that comes with not, like, you know, adhering to safety precautions. The fact that you feel like you can still do whatever you want. No, that's not how that works. If you, if you're going to go this route, accept what comes with it then. Mm-hmm. That's my beef. If I chose not to get the, you know, that get vaccinated for whatever reason, and I felt that it was strong enough that, you know, I'm putting my health at risk, at the very least, I'm going to make sure that I'm not putting someone else's health at risk by wearing a mask, staying away from people, you know, washing my hands as much as possible, all those things. And people are not doing any of that. Like the idea that like, it was, I want to say it was like a few months ago where people would go into like stores and pretend to cough around people, like pretend that they were pretending coughing. that they were coughing and like to scare people. Like it was like a, some weird coughing protests that they were doing. And the only thing I could think of was why weren't there any hands being thrown? Why? Why was this allowed to happen without someone being punched? Why? You know, it's just weird to me that that's allowed. But, you know, heaven forbid, you know, because if we have to go that route, I 100% guarantee if we have to go the route where we're telling people you have to get vaccinated to just be in the U.S., right? It would be so much violence because of how entitled these people are. I mean, we saw what happened with the Capitol, right? And that was honestly bananas for the goofiest reasons. But we saw what happened. And then we also saw the result of them doing that. I don't think anyone has actually gotten any jail time yet.
They're getting, you know, really short jail time. So the one person who's finally got a sentence, it's like an 8-month sentence or something. It's like they're getting half these people are getting slaps on the wrist. That's what it feels like.
That's ass backwards. Like it is ass backwards. It's treason.
It is treason. And you know what's funny about this? There's also I've been hearing, and I don't want to be incorrect on this, but because of the jail issue. Like, how, you know how people were being let out of jails due to COVID?
Right.
It's another problem of getting people into jails because of COVID. And so we have a larger problem at stake. And I mean, I understand where you're coming from, Kenny. I really do. I really understand where you're coming from, because at the end of the day, this is America, and forcing people to do things against their, you know, or whatever. It's not, it's kind of, the idea is kind of un-American, but that also proves how selfish our country is, like how individualistic our country truly is. And when you live in an individualistic society like this one, we all suffer. And so at the craziest, saddest part about this is that if people are out here committing crimes, that the fact that we're having issues putting them into jail, outside of the fact that they're white, so they're, you know, they're not getting in trouble based on their skin color, for real. Right. But, and also not getting people into jail because of the fear of disease in the jail is like, well, then how do we fix that? We have a major problem here, because if we can't, I mean, there's already other problems with our prison system, like forcing things onto prisoners, which is not fair and inhumane, and their rights are stripped already. But people have committed crimes, and then we can't get them into jail because of COVID. And we can't necessarily force prisoners to have vaccinations. Like, we have a larger problem in our country. There's a major problem here. There's a huge disconnect here, because it's like there's no solution, because everything is an infringement upon rights. Whereas you go to New Zealand, because what's her name? Sonia Renee Taylor has moved to New Zealand now. And she did a whole, she did a video the other day talking about how New Zealand is insane when it comes to this virus. Like, they've gone into lockdown. Their cases were zero. They got down to zero. They had something just happened, I guess, because they, you know, they relented. They found a positive case, and immediately they found one positive case, and the country went back into lockdown. They go from zero to 100 real quick. But it worked, because as soon as they went to 100 and locked everybody down again, they were able to confirm 51 cases. So they've been able to isolate. And she said they are so good that they can tell you, they know exactly when you got infected,
who you were infected from, because their genetic sequencing is, it's done immediately. You don't do this American bullshit. Like, people are sitting here like, I know somebody who has COVID now who still doesn't know what strain they got. And I'm like, how come when you tested positive, they didn't say, hey, you got the Delta variant. They didn't tell you you had Lambda. They didn't tell you you had Alpha. This needs to be on the tip of your tongue.
Right.
How is it not? No, I'm very not just disappointed in our American system, but this lackadaisicalness, whereas you've got other places on this globe who are actually serious. Like, to me, and I know that I'm being very, what's the word? You know, my language is messed up, but very, I don't want to say like, not dystopian, but you know, the world is coming to an end type thing, but America is crumbling. It's crumbling. This virus literally will take us all out. We'll destroy the fabric of our society before anybody else falls victim to it, you know? If other countries can sit around and just say and happily walk themselves into lockdown, but we can't. We can't even agree on wearing masks.
Yeah, it's
Chris,
rough.
It's rough. Chris, what do you foresee for, like, what do you think? What do you foresee for the future for medical?
So eventually they're gonna have to start paying top dollar for healthcare professionals, because nurses uh-huh. are like, we're not gonna be taking this for this chump change. Like, y'all are not paying us. We get yeah. you know, little pizza parties as recognition. Don't have no pizza party when you know you have a whole COVID floor, and you know that's how they thank you. You know, heroes at work. Every time I see the sign, I just want to run it over. I mean, that's just me personally, though. But I'm like, you know, like, what I'm seeing, and hopefully, I'm hoping 2022 is a little bit better for us. I agree with you. What I think COVID to me exposed that America is just not the greatest nation on earth. And I mean, we've been in this bubble thinking that we were the cream of the crop, and you know, we were at the top. We were the top.
I thought we wasn't shit.
You know, and all it took was a little, you know, virus from trying to come through, and it brought us to our knees very fast. Very fast. We really saw. It's embarrassing, actually, to be here and to have people from other countries commenting, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're on lockdown, but, you know, we only got two cases. We sit up here with, like, 35 million, and we're just like, oh, two cases. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, yeah. I was telling one of my coworkers, is that I'm like, take the politics out of this. Mm-hmm. That's the issue. Take the politics out of this and get to where you're at. Because most of these people walking around with no mask and not vaccinated, calling themselves a patriot, I'm pretty sure they're Republicans. I'm pretty sure of it. And I'm pretty sure they're drinking the Republican juice while their Republican constitute has been vaccinated. Got everything to their disposable. You're not them, is what I want to tell them. You know, you're not them. You're not Donald Trump, you know. You can't go and get the best health care and then be free of COVID in 2 weeks. That's not how that works. That's not how that works.
Right. Didn't Abbott get COVID and then they were giving him all of the best treatments? And it's like, but this is the same guy who's telling his state, he's telling the state of Texas, oh, by the way, if you guys force kids to wear masks, we'll fire you. We'll defund your schools. You don't have to get vaccinated. Nobody needs to do that. But then he gets COVID, and then they give him all of the best drugs and get him treated, and everything is wonderful and fine.
They gave him the best drugs, and he was asymptomatic. He didn't even have any symptoms, and they were giving him the best drugs.
Yeah.
Just to make sure he didn't get any.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That happened, you know?
I also want to point out that vaccines work. We have said this on the show many weeks in a row. We say that vaccines work. I do know several people with COVID now that have either gotten COVID recently or had COVID in the last month or have it now that are vaccinated. And they've had very little to no symptoms because of the vaccine. So I know one team for Pfizer and two team Modernas. They all have COVID, but have or had it, but they are very low symptomatic. Like just cough, slight cough and you know, loss of smell, but no fever, no real issues, like able to do their normal things. So like people do need to understand, and we've known this, we've talked about this before, and it's public knowledge. The vaccine is not a cure. What they were able to develop in the last 2 years, what they were able to develop was something, a concoction that would at least keep you out of the hospital and keep you from having very bad symptoms. And Chris, you can tell us right now that that what is it, 99% of the people who are in the hospitals for COVID are unvaccinated.
In Virginia, they sent us, we get the little Virginia Department of Health sends us emails as healthcare providers. They put up there 98.3% of people that are hospitalized right now are unvaccinated.
See.
Yep.
So they are unvaccinated. So, and I try to educate people, you know, about the vaccines and everything. I'm like, I like to tell people, first of all, coronavirus is not new.
Yeah.
This is just a new strand. It's been here for a very long time.
Exactly. And
like you know, the mRNA protein is nothing new. They've been studying that for years.
Yep.
They've been trying to find an HIV cure. I'm like, none of this is new. So this whole concept of warp speed, or they made that up in like 6 months, it's inaccurate. That is not true.
Right.
I'm like, you have to understand, you know, when it comes to like, you know, cancers, HIV, the money is in the treatment. It's not in the cure. So when it comes to pharmaceuticals who are trying to create vaccines, such things like this, the government isn't going to fund it. Because it's not, it's pretty much, if you're going to say, hey, I'm going to cure cancer right now, they're going to slow your process down. Because why, you know, the pills, the surgeries, all of that is money. This is a money game in America. They don't care about you. You know, it's a money game. So that's where that part is. Except this part with COVID is affecting their bottom dollar is what it is. It's affecting the government's money. So because it affected the money, they're like, okay, we're going to throw all this money to this pharmacy. I need you to make this vaccine a little bit faster than what you're making.
Uh-huh.
And that's what happened. So I like to tell people, I'm like, this whole myth about it, just they made it too fast. No, they didn't.
Right. And we've talked about that on the show before, that when they were when they were trying to come up with a vaccine for SARS, COVID-1, okay, when they were trying to come out with a vaccine for that, they had developed something a long time ago, but then SARS went away. Again, just like what I was talking about in Contagion, when you have a virus that is extremely deadly and it kills its host very quickly, or it manifests so hard that it's not something that can go by without having symptoms like that our COVID right now that we're having is, SARS basically, I don't want to say cured itself, but they were able to contain SARS and it was able to go away. They had done this research well over 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and they put it on the shelf because they didn't need to do anything. And so they based, was it the Pfizer vaccine? Or I can't remember which one, but most of the research was already done for the vaccine because you already had two, three diseases that were so similar, mainly being SARS and then MERS. They're so similar. And so they were already able to come up with the basis of this a long time ago. People are like, oh, it was rushed. No, it wasn't. Not when the foundation of the vaccine was sitting in a vault for 10 years.
Like, I mean, the playbook was there. You know,
I mean, rushed or not, it's you have to understand the idea of the vaccines and how they work. I don't think there was any that weren't, like, if we're talking about rushed, I don't think any weren't, because there was a need, an immediate need. And so you had to get out what you had to get out. I don't think anybody, I mean, maybe I didn't live back then, but when when polio was around, when they had to get virus, you know, the vaccines for these type of things, I don't think people were like, yo, you did that way too quick, fam. If you could just like, if you could pump the brakes, like, no, that's not what happened.
No.
And no. I understand, again, I understand, like, especially Black people, and, you know, after this, we'll move on, but I understand, like, not wanting to do this, because we already had, you know, people on TV in different countries, different places talking about we should, you know, test these things in certain African countries, or we should test this with, you know, certain, you know, basically poorer people. And so I understand there were, you know, you don't want to do that. However, there's more than enough information to educate yourself. There's more than enough, you know, information out there to where even if you don't get the vaccination, even if you don't, you can help prevent the spread. And that part, people who are like, I just have to go to Miami, or I just have to go to Hawaii, which actually people from Hawaii are telling you not to come. Yeah, you're making things worse, people. You just are. Speaking of people who are potentially making things worse, it's a horrible segue, but I don't care. The next topic we wanted to talk about was rapper and actress Awkwafina and this idea of cultural appropriation.
I personally thought you were about to say crate challenge. I did. When you're like, people making things worse. We're talking about Black people. I thought you were about to say crate challenge. I forgot we were talking about Awkwafina. I really thought you were about to mention the crate challenge.
That's a whole nother episode, fam. Where are y'all even getting these crates from? I have never seen this many crates, like, just online. Like, are you getting? Anyways, yeah, so Awkwafina, you know, over the years, she's been accused of, you know, putting on a Black scent, if you will, speaking and acting like a caricature of a Black person, not even a Black person. And in order to become popular, whatever, it's in rapping, her, you know, being a comedian or being, you know, an actress. And yeah, people have been kind of speaking about it for a while now in terms of like not appreciating, you know, what she's doing. And there's been some pushback, you know, there's people who are like, that's just who she is. And a lot of Black people don't believe it. Before I get into why some people aren't believing her, you know, that this is who she is, I just want to give my take on how quickly we kind of throw this word around, or these, you know, this group of words. We tend to do this a lot when someone sounds like, we think they sound Black. We think they're acting Black. We think they're being whatever. And there is a difference. There is a difference between someone who grew up in a place, grew up around Black people, grew up around, you know, hip hop, if you will, especially with it being the most, you know, popular genre of music right now, who speak a certain way, who say certain things, use certain slang, etc., certain mannerisms even. And then there's the people who are pretending to be a cartoon, who aren't actually trying to speak like us, but are doing so in a way. There's actually a big difference between that. And I know how quickly we can kind of jump on people. One of my examples, and for people who are in the gaming world, you kind of know this. There was a review written about a video game called Spider-Man Miles Morales that came out, I want to say, last year. And the person who wrote the review was Black. They did a voiceover, you know, kind of like doing a video review of it. And they said something that made people think that it was a white person speaking. You know, they use, you know, certain terminology or whatever. They said something to the effect of the swagger of a Black teen. And immediately, a lot of Black people were like, I can't believe, you know, first, why did you have a white person doing the review? But then also, why is this person trying to talk in a manner that would be popular or appealing to Black people? Like, why are they doing that? Come to find out, the person was Black, and a lot of people had egg on their face. They look silly. And if you don't know that, you know, if you can't, that example doesn't jive with you, we could look at the, you know, the Fresh Prince. Anybody seen the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? You know, the episode where Carlton wanted to join a fraternity, and the fraternity, for whatever reason, thought that he wasn't Black enough. And that caused, you know, a big, you know, and obviously there was a moral to the story, and et cetera, but it just kind of shows you how there's this weird thing where Black people kind of gatekeep who can be Black, who can sound Black, how Black are you, light skin, mm-hmm. dark skin, et cetera, right? So that's a thing. I just want to throw that out there. That mm-hmm. being said, I kind of have to give credit to this idea that Awkwafina is being bad, if you will. Based on some of the things that's been coming to light recently, one of them happens to be a Vice interview that she gave, I want to say a few years ago. It actually came back up because she's promoting the Shang-Chi film, the new Marvel film that's getting ready to drop. Mm-hmm. She was on that, you know, on Vice talking about her career and all the things that she's done. And one of the questions they asked was, are there any roles that you wouldn't accept? Her answer was that, I refuse to do accents. She said, I think so far, a lot of the parts I've gone out for have really been characters and been Asian. Being Asian is not part of their plot line. I'm okay with having an Asian aspect if it's done in a genuine way. I am not okay with someone writing the Asian experience for an Asian character. Like, that's annoying, and I make it very clear I don't ever want to go out, or I don't ever go out for auditions where I feel like I'm making a minstrel out of our people. Now, the word minstrel is key here, considering mm-hmm. what she's being accused of. Mm-hmm. And so people immediately felt like that was being a little hypocritical, mm-hmm. because the idea is that Awkwafina doesn't talk the way that she talks when she's, you know, in Crazy Rich Asians, or when she's rapping, or when she's, you know, doing a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. She doesn't talk that way. But in those films, or in some of these, the roles that she gets, she does do that. You know, she mm-hmm. has the mannerisms, the fingers moving, the head moving, the, you know, the just things that you kind of look at and you're like, ah, I see what you're doing and I don't like it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that interview kind of it blew up again, because people are like, how can you say that when you're essentially doing the same thing with Black people? And she hasn't, to my knowledge, had a good response yet. And okay. So I kind of want to know what you guys want to think about it, but that's kind of my take. I'm very hesitant to kind of throw the, you know, appropriation word out there, but mm-hmm. at the same time, looking at the examples and, you know, the difference between when she's Nora, her real, you know, her real name, and when she's Awkwafina, it's a big gulf, if you will. And she turns it up. Now, I don't know if this is like a role potentially wanting her to act more of a certain way, mm-hmm. but the idea that she will refuse to do accents, refuse to do certain things, but then she speaks with a Black scent that she doesn't normally have all the time, mm-hmm. makes me feel a way. So what do you guys think?
What do you think, Chris?
I don't really know I just was looking up that interview you were talking about probably about 10 minutes before I got on this to kind of familiarize myself with her, because I'm like, when you mentioned Awkwafina, I was like, who is that? But that comparison kind of reminded me of, like, you know, the rapper Iggy Azalea, or whatever yes. her name is, the mm-hmm. white girl who's from yeah. Australia. And then when she rapped, you know, she put on this, I don't know, like, it sounded kind of like a Black scent to her, but you know, but she does, you know, that's not how she talks mm-hmm. in real life, you know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know, like, a part of me feel like it can be appropriate, but then sometimes I be thinking some of the stereotypes that they do, that's not really us. And for us to claim that stereotype, I'm like, that's kind of, I don't want to say racism, but mm-hmm. you know, it's like, it's rooted in racism, because, you know, AAV, yeah, we all have our dialect, but certain things, you know, with the, you know, the finger snapping and the head turning, who do that? You know, what Black woman, you know, really do that?
Well, I think just to interject on that part, I don't think it's necessarily a claim. I think that's the problem you kind of hit on the head, was that people think this is how we are, and so they act that way. Like, for instance, with the minstrel shows and the blackface, they acted like they weren't intelligent. They acted like they were, you know, like savages, if you will. Mm-hmm. And Black people was offended by it, outside of the fact that they were painting themselves Black. But right. because they thought this is how we should act or how we do act. Yeah. And so our offense wasn't us claiming. It was more so to say, hey, that's not how we sound. Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
And I think on the flip side with Awkwafina is the fact that she's getting seemingly getting more roles and more opportunities because she's acting in a way that isn't us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like she's mm-hmm. acting in a way that doesn't represent us in a positive light, but and mm-hmm. yet we would get turned down for a role being ourselves where she can go over the top and get a role, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's difficult though. It's difficult to say.
It probably because I don't pay so much attention to Awkwafina. Like, I'll say this. I remember when Awkwafina was going to be on Saturday Night Live and my sister was like, I'm Awkwafina. And then I was like, okay, because I didn't really know who she was. And I watched her on Saturday Night Live and I was like, oh, okay. You know, this is, what, 2 years ago or something? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
And she was in Crazy Rich Asians and I watched that and I you know, that movie is hilarious. It's so stupid and like bad all around. like this is a very bad relationship that this woman is in. And but Awkwafina was great comic relief and I see her behavior and who she was supposed to be. And I kind of hear the argument that people have kind of brought on her. And I don't necessarily know, you know, I don't necessarily say I want to defend her or anything like that, but I mean, I know she's from New York and interestingly enough, you know, like, especially like even on Nora from Queens, like, when you're in a place, I guess when you come from a place that is pop culture surrounding, you know, like I can understand why your stage person would be a mixture of what you know, like right. what you're surrounded by. And I can understand that. And I can appreciate it because if you're not like this all the time, but your stage person is, then that's who you get to be when you go on stage. And I get that. And I don't necessarily feel like, mind you, I haven't watched a bunch of her interviews or anything, but I don't necessarily think that the way that she talks is so far from like some of her stage stuff. I'm gonna be honest with you, like, I think she kind of, to me, when I see the characters that she plays, she kind of reminds me, like, if I were, kind of doesn't make sense, but if I were in an Asian family, like, she would be that one that, the mom would be like, oh my God, this is my daughter. like, she would be that one who was different. She would kind of be like, what's his face from Fresh Off the Boat? You know, like, I kind of see her taking on that role and I accept her for it. I'm not really, I don't put a lot of energy into her. And one of the things that I feel kind of, Chris, you just mentioned, that I feel like differs her from Iggy Azalea is because we know for a fact that Iggy Azalea does not talk like her stage person. The girl's Australian. Come on. Like, you have no reason for this. And everybody knows that Iggy Azalea like created her own language. Like this girl sitting on stage going like, do that. And it was like, what? Like, what? Because she was literally freestyle rapping. They have her on video doing this because this was on, I don't remember if it was on Trevor Noah or whatever. Some comedian
That wasn't rapping. That was right. not rapping. I don't know what that was.
And they're like, what is she doing? That's when people, you know, finally, Black people were kind of just like, yo, this girl's whack. Because they're like, is this how you think? Because you're clearly, your influence came from somewhere. And you're clearly trying
to emulate that influence. And now you're doing it on stage with an audience, mostly Black, and your mentor is T.I. So when you're doing what you're just doing, was that showing off what, you know, your artistic whatever, or was that you thinking that we were going to be like, oh yeah, that's cool as hell. Like, oh yeah, she just made up some words like we do every week. No, nobody liked that. And so that's where I feel like they are very, very different. Because at the end of the day, if Awkwafina, when she's in Crazy Rich Asians, the character that she plays, says, you know, whatever she's, you know, it's like, you know, you need to swerve that or whatever, and is acting kind of foolish, instead of kind of thinking that she's a, either not only is she, does she think she's adopting Black culture, or she is, you know, whether she is or isn't, I honestly kind of put it towards that she's adopting pop culture. And because, you know, Black culture has been diluted to mainstream. And so a lot of people are doing stuff that we're like, the people who don't even know what Bi Felicia is, and they sit there and they say Bi Felicia all day, and they've never seen Friday in their whole life, but they will literally say Bi Felicia 17 times a day, and then, or call you a Felicia and be like, oh, she's such a Felicia. Like, bitch, you don't even know what a Felicia is.
No, and I'm that person. I'll ask. I'm like, who is Felicia? I have a doctor who does it. He always talks about Felicia. I'm like, who's Felicia?
Yeah.
Do you know her?
Yes.
Who Felicia was, like, you know, that's offensive to me. I'm not a crackhead.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've done that too. Somebody said that to me at work once, and I said, I'm not even a Felicia. And then he was like, what constitutes a Felicia? I was like, a crackhead that shows up every time she smells weed. Like, what the hell? And they're like, what do you mean? Where'd that come from? I said, did you ever see Friday? And they're like, what? And so why are we having this conversation? Don't ever call me a Felicia again.
And see, that's tricky too, because, so like, again, us being, a lot of the stuff we do is popular. Like,
yeah.
Like even the dumb challenge that we're talking about a minute ago, the crate challenge,
yeah.
And how some white people recently, I saw a video of white people doing it where they were in a gym and they were kind of like working out as they were doing it. And it was like safe. And it was like, wow, we can't, even the foolish things we can't have to ourselves. Right. But so like it's in that sense, it's tricky because if you have something that's popular, right, just really, really popular, it's going to spread. And
yeah.
It's going to get into people, like people's vernacular. They're going to start saying certain things, even if they don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
And in that sense, I'm not mad, because if you've ever been in a high school ever in your life, you're going to change how you speak depending on who you're around. You're going to start picking up some things. If you go to a different state, they might have different slang that you start to pick up. That happens. I think the beef with me when these things happen is when I feel like someone is portraying something that is normally used against us. Like, I don't have a problem with white people having like dreadlocks. It's weird, but I have no problem with that. But then when a Black kid can't cross or can't get his diploma because of his dreads, now I have a problem. You see, so like when Awkwafina, and granted, I don't know her to be able to speak. I'm just, this is like, you know, just my optics, right? But when she acts that way and it's okay.
Yeah.
But then we just act normal and it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I don't have to tell you guys, cause you're Black women. So like,
yeah,
you know, the angry, you know, Black women trope and, you know, ghetto and even the Bi Felicias, like all that stuff that's offensive, this particular person can do it and it's okay. And so that's kind of where the conversation comes in.
Yeah.
And I haven't ruled out necessarily how I feel. In my sense with her, I'm like, I see the commentary. I see that there's some valid concerns, and I think she should address those concerns.
Yeah.
But I don't know enough to say that she isn't whatever she claims to be.
Right.
I'll put it that way. Moving on to our last topic, we wanted to talk about the recent what if. Not this past episode, episode 3. We wanted to talk about episode 2 that featured T'Challa, who was voiced by Chadwick Boseman.
And
it was, you know, it was rough finding out even that this was like his last or some of his last work. Because I believe he's in 4 episodes of What If, totally. So, but this was the first one that we heard or that we got to see, you know, the animated him. And outside of, you know, getting into like the episode itself and how it was fun, it was just really cool to kind of hear him, but then sad at the same time, you know, and I know like, you know, everyone's here, you know, was a big fan. I know that, Chris, I had seen you, you know, you had made posts about how you felt, you know, when you watched the episode, how you felt after the episode. And so I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that, before we wrap it up today. Cause we stayed on some topics a little longer than I thought we would. but I wanted to kind of talk about like how we felt about it in a sense that it's cool. And granted, this is a person that we don't necessarily know personally, but, someone that we kind of latched onto because of all the positive things that they were doing and the type of person that they seemed to be and what their entertainment brought to everyone. And so to be able to see them or not see, but hear them again, and it'd be like an animated form and where everything's happy and cheerful for the most part. What, you know, what was that like for you guys?
It was a lot. I mean, I enjoyed the episode so much. It was so great. But it also got me to that point where it's just like, you know how everybody only has good things to say about Chadwick, right?
Yeah.
And it's like T'Challa is the embodiment of how everybody loves Chadwick. There really should be a show that everybody loves Chadwick. You know what I mean? Because that's exactly what this was. It was like, so T'Challa couldn't even manage to make anybody upset. he literally is, instead of being the dude who's just a thief, you know, for hire, he is the most revered Robin Hood.
Right.
You know, everybody loves him. And they had the whole coming to America moment when he was like, oh, this is Star-Lord. Oh, this, like, this is it's the same thing. This is coming to America. Oh, my goodness. Like, oh, my God. It was so yeah, I was really excited. I laughed. I mean, not to move on to other characters, but just that What If was so monumental because T'Challa gets the Mad Titan to not be a genocidal maniac. Okay.
Right.
You guys couldn't have written it better. You know, like it was like, all you need is a little T'Challa. That's it. All the universe needed was a little T'Challa. We didn't deserve Chadwick. That's what I feel like. We didn't deserve him. He was too good for us and had to go. So now his Chadwickness is somewhere out in the universe, spreading his Chadwickness to other worlds. That's how I feel.
What about you, Chris?
Well, you know, I've been a big Chadwick fan before, like the Black Panther and everything else. So of course, I probably took it the hardest. I mean, I had people call me like when he passed at like 6 a.m. It was like, hey, are you sitting down? I'm like, what? I mean, it was that type of seriousness. So when I watched the episode, I actually enjoyed it. Of course, I got teary eyed at the end with the whole dedication thing. But I felt like they kind of kept T'Challa's his personality, him, if you think about it. Because I mean, even in Black Panther, I could see the T'Challa from What If as the Black Panther, because even in Black Panther, you know, he was more so the one trying to figure out solutions with Michael B. Jordan's character, you know, without
asking,
why did you do this? Why you didn't do it this way? But that to me was more on par with him. So it didn't really, his character to me didn't really change, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And fine, but I don't think it was supposed to. I think that's their purpose.
And that was a good one, you know. And I enjoyed that because I felt like they kept him true to character. Which I mean, some of the other episodes, most of them were too, but some of them was a little off to me. But I enjoyed that one because, like you said, I mean, when I saw Thanos, I was like, "Wow, really? This is how this ended? Like, this is like the perfect world." So now everybody was like, "Why couldn't he be a Star-Lord originally?" I'm like, "Thanks, God."
I'm not even gonna say what I was gonna say.
You know what I mean? I was like, I hope Chris Pratt wasn't looking at any of these comments. Cause Lord,
he was okay. That's just the truth. He was, and secondly. Because I think Screen Crush, they let him have it. Because forget that. Forget what anybody else has to say. We all watched the movies. We all know what happened. Quill got mad about Gamora. And remember, he went crazy. And I didn't even go to the theaters to see this. Everyone who's in the theater, I know this because my niece was telling you, Ayana was just like, everyone in the theater was screaming because it was all his fault. So we needed a what if to replace what happened. And you know me, Kenny. Like, I have my whole thing, if not but for. I do this thing called if not but for. And I'm like, if not but for this moment, we would have had a different outcome. And my if not but for was that. was Peter Quill trying to strangle Thanos.
Of all times, and I get him being upset, but at all times, this was not appropriate. No. This was not appropriate. No, I think
you couldn't have waited, you know, so they took the gauntlet off to feel your frustration after the fact. But then you may have had a chance against Thanos. You probably would have still died even without the gauntlet, because I mean, it was Thanos. But I was just like, sir, you just messed up the whole plan. Like,
why we needed T'Challa. Why we needed it.
We had a whole plan. We rehearsed this.
Rehearsed it.
I think that it's interesting, though, that you guys kind of bring up the fact that he was similar. You know, the Black Panther character and Star-Lord character were similar in how they approach things. I think the only thing that was different, or what potentially was holding him back, was as the Black Panther, was the ruling. You know, like
his people.
Yeah, the family rules, like what you're supposed to do as a king and things of that nature. Whereas Star-Lord, he kind of made his own rules. Mm-hmm. And because of that, he was able to change people's minds. But that did bring up a thing that I want to kind of critique a little bit. Not so much this episode, but What If in general, and how it differs from the comics. Because a lot of things end up happening the exact same way, just with different characters. To the point where I was like, is that all we're going to get? Like, if we're going to get a what if, like, what if this person became this and they're going to end up going down the same path, do we really need what if? I'm like, are we going to dive into some of the things that, you know, could be rather interesting? Like, there's some things in the comics, what ifs, where they dive into, like, you know, racial issues. Like, what if this particular person mm-hmm. happened to be Captain America? He was Black. You know, like how Sam is going to be. It's like, mm-hmm. Are we going to bump into these things? And it seems like, for the most part anyways, what if has been more happy? You know, the things that's happening is we're celebrating these moments that could have been or are, you know, considering that this is canon. So I think that's one of my, you know, I want to watch the rest of the episodes to kind of see if that happens, where we finally get something where this is a huge change, mm-hmm. not so much to outcomes of characters, you know, how they end up, but like character changes and like how they think, their thinking, their how they operate. There's a really cool comic where Captain America's character is brainwashed to believe that he was with Hydra the whole time, and he turns into one of Marvel's best villains. Like, he was deadly in the stuff that he did, and it was because the things that they kept with Captain America was the fact that he was so, when he believes he's right, he puts everything mm-hmm. he has into it. Totally. So when he was with Hydra, he thought that he was right. So much so that he was able to lift Thor's hammer because he believed he was in the right, even though he was wrong. That was amazing. And I'm looking for something along those lines. That being said, I am very pleased with this particular episode because, again, it reminded us of Chadwick more so than Black Panther. It reminded us of who we believe him to be, the things that he was doing in terms of, like, you know, the fact that he was promoting, you know, a charity when he was going through, you know, chemo and all this other stuff. Like, that seems like what Star-Lord would do. Like, he's going through something poor or something bad, but yet he still is looking out for other people, right? Like, even when he finds out, and I don't want to spoil it, but, you know, when he finds when he finds out certain things within the episode, he still covers for his people. He still covers for, you know, his surrogate father, if you will. Like, because that's who he is. So I thought that was, even though they didn't change a whole lot in terms of his character, I still think that they did a really good job of honoring the actor. Solid stuff. And of course, similar to the previous episode, the animation was great. I'm a big fan of what they're doing with the 2D and CG stuff combined. Mm-hmm. And Thanos was hilarious as him trying to sell genocide. I know that sounds bad, but it's funny. It really is funny. No,
it's good. Because it's not, he's not the only person who's ever tried to do it in movies, but it works so much better here because it's a cartoon.
Right.
And we already know what the alternative is in the sacred timeline.
Right.
So it works. It's perfect. It's great. Honestly, the biggest bombshell was Nebula. Nobody was expecting Nebula. She really drives this episode because nobody was expecting her to just roll up. Hey, Nebula, you got hair. You're Smurfette.
Right? does anyone see him? See them dating? I mean, the fact that she called him Cha-Cha, like, Cha-Cha. Is that, like, what is that? What is going on over there?
I mean, who wouldn't want to date Star-Lord? Like, come on, this is different than Peter Quill. This is T'Challa Star-Lord. He is the great. What's the word I'm looking for? But he's like the mayor of the universe. You know?
Like, everybody likes him.
It
seems like they already been dating. She got a nickname and everything.
There's something going on. It may not be official.
But they got something. Something. You know,
she's a tall, leggy blonde.
I'm mad at that.
Saying there's something going on there. We don't 100% know. But
we picked up on it because, I mean, Gamora's not in the picture because obviously, well, none of the other stuff would have happened. So
exactly, she can't be.
Right, that's right. Like, I'm not mad at it though. I am not mad at it. It's comical. It's comical. Mm-hmm. And I like that the camaraderie there, not just between, I guess, everybody he bumps into, but then even within themselves, like, you know, Thanos and Nebula, kind of, you know, being cool with one another. Even after the stuff, because in that world, you know, there was still bad blood between them at one point. It just wasn't to the extent of what's in the MCU films. And so the fact that they could kind of, like, you know, hang out again was actually kind of cool, too.
There's also this idea that, you know, when he was getting beat up by the dudes, and it's like, wait, aren't these dudes who used to work for you? Like, wait a minute, you're not getting beat up by them. You're getting beat up by them so that your daughter can come and you guys can work together. Because I have a real problem thinking that he's getting beat up by them. Like, I do. I have a problem seeing them being able to get the leg up on him to the point where she's like, Daddy, you know, let me come save you. No, that is the manipulative way of, you know what, daughter? Let's work together, and I do love you, and you love me too. I know it just works better that way in my mind. If anybody else picked up on that,
potentially,
I got you. I think so, because I mean, when you're looking at the fights, and you're like, "Come on, this isn't real. Come on, like, you know, there's no way, you know, y'all are handling him like this.
We understand that power and, like, and the need to like to achieve your goal makes you more menacing,
and that, you know, maybe since he's not been murdering so many people, he's a little rusty, but I still doubt that he's a Titan.
Facts.
I
think he would eventually would have won, because he does even say, like, you know, I had it, you know, just give me a moment, you know. But I think it also is the fact that they don't fear him. Like, they don't fear him, and so
true.
He's able to kind of control people, or at least his underlings, based on that fear. Like, mm-hmm. I will kill you, and no one's going to stop me. And so if everybody's thinking that, it's like, oh, I'm not going to go up against Dan. Did you see what he did to the Hulk? I'm not fighting that dude. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Whereas now it's like, oh, he chilling. He wearing Hawaiian shirts and stuff.
Right?
Like, whatever, man. Like,
where do we get one in his size?
Like, bruh, where? Like, I don't even.
Like, Thanos, where do you shop?
Shoot, not in this galaxy. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, that
and
is
out here. I'm like,
that is you know what? It's I wanted, and this, you know, I'll end this here. But like, I wanted to see more of some of the other characters as well, because they there was a lot of Easter eggs in that episode with the collector having all those different people like locked up and stuff. And granted, we didn't see, like, you know, we saw Howard the Duck, and that's not a big spoiler, but we saw Howard the Duck, and
it
was cool. It was cool to see him on screen for a little bit. Like,
I
to have
screamed
a speaking role.
When I saw him, I was screaming. I was just like, oh, they finally worked this in.
It was great. And I kind of want to see them more. Like, I know that each What If kind of goes to a different thing, and I don't know if they're going to revisit these places, but because at least, like, it seems like they all end on a cliffhanger. So I don't know if they're going to come back, but like, there's a lot of people in where the collector was that I'm like, ooh, I want to see what, you know, what's going on with these people, you know, what happens when the collector goes down, you know? So it's interesting. If you haven't checked out the What If series on Disney Plus, definitely go check that out. We are not getting paid to say that. We just think it's decent. So feel free. Although Disney, if you want to pay us,
we'll take it.
Right? Like, I'm not going to say no, but anywho.
I wouldn't.
that is our show for tonight. For this week, I want to say we're episode 64. Thanks for listening. If you hung out with us for this whole time, we appreciate your time. Shout out to Chris for coming and hanging out with us and talking about COVID and Awkwafina and T'Challa. We had a great time. We want you to come back.
Yes.
And, you know, especially when, you know, you get the whole earbuds thing working out. But yes, we definitely appreciate you hanging out with us. For everybody who's listening, if you are listening on your favorite DSP, whether it's Spotify or Apple or wherever, feel free to add us to your RSS feeds. Subscribe. If you are listening on YouTube, feel free to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content that's coming out. There's a lot of cool stuff coming your way, and potential guests that I'm lining up, hopefully they come through, because that will be awesome. And you want to know, you want to be hip to what's going on. And the only way you can do that is by subbing and subscribing and all that good stuff. Regardless of where you listen, you have to do it. You have to do it. But again, thanks for hanging out with us. And I think that's it for me on housekeeping.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Again, Chris, thank you so much for stopping by. Did you have any parting words for the public?
And get vaccinated.
Yes. See, it's so much better coming from a medical professional than just me, who's pretty much a bum and does nothing. So, you know, every week
it hits different.
It hits different. It should. Like, Chris is a medical professional, and she is literally on the front lines and telling y'all, get vaccinated, wash your hands and your butts.
Yes.
Like, please do all of those things and be kind and don't be a dick.
Yes.
And put other people before yourself. And the simple thing is, like, we're not going to beat this pandemic as individuals. We have to beat it together. And how we do that is by taking care of the next person. And the way you take care of the next person is to pretend like you already have the virus. Wear your mask. Yep. Stay away from people. Stay apart.
Like, if you have to be in public, it's a minimum of 6 feet. Shit, I do 12. People walk up to me in the grocery store, and I'm sitting here like, I literally have to turn around. Mind you, I don't go there often because it gives me anxiety now with my vertigo. But I'm straight up like, hey, you're too close. Hey, back up. And then they'll look at me, ma'am, are you in line? Bitch, just because I'm 8 feet behind this person don't mean I'm not in line, okay? Get off me. Let me do me. I'm just trying to stay alive here. So, in parting, stay away from people, okay? Get off their backs. I'm going to need y'all to get all the way off my back about this. Sorry, I'm quoting Ryan. But, yeah, please, 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 everybody, please, just do those three things. Wash your hands, wear your masks, and stay the hell away from people. Oh, and also get vaccinated if you can. The vaccine is free. It's like, come on. It doesn't cost anything. And tip, if you have a job, normally what jobs are doing now is they will pay you on the days that you need to take off because they do know that if you get Moderna or Pfizer, that you will probably need to take a couple days off for getting your second shot, because everybody knows that it does affect a lot of people. A lot of people have side effects. And then also they pay you just for the time. So if you went to get your first shot and you came back to work or something, they can pay you for like being out for 3 hours. There's also a lot of jobs that are paying for transportation. I know that I heard that Lyft was paying for transportation to get to the vaccine sites. So please do your part. If you can get vaccinated, please do. It's extremely important because if you don't get vaccinated, the virus has way more opportunity to mutate and turn into different strains that we continue to pass. It's just important. I'm sorry I'm going on one of my longer closes, but please do your part for the stability of the Republic, as they used to say in that stupid show Scandal. Okay. the fate of our democracy is at stake. So please do your part, everybody. Again, thank you so much for listening. We love you. Have a great day or night, whatever time you're listening. But we really do appreciate you for staying with us this whole time. Thanks so much, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.